We're talking about love God, love people. That's the title of our teaching series here. And it's got a heart that's on fire. And that's what we're asking God for. Lord, help us not to be lukewarm or wishy-washy or just whatever. Help our hearts to be on fire for You. Help us to love You, God. And help us then to love people, which is the real test we're learning to see if we love God as if we love people. So, okay, thanks. Go ahead and bring that back down. We're going to do a little bit of a review because, again, I've already told you I'm pretty forgetful. You probably are too. Again, we're going over, again, some of the most basic stuff. Some of you guys have served Jesus for 20 or 30 years saying, yeah, I know this. Well, I do too. It's kind of like breathing or like your heart rate. You need all of that happening. You know, and again, after a while, that stuff, when you don't think of it, it becomes second nature. But let's just kind of review some of the things. Our mission here at Warehouse Church, as it is with every believer, this is just how we've chosen to say it. A lot of churches say this. Here we go. Everybody together. Our mission is to know God and to make Him known. All right. That's the vertical, man, to know God. If we don't know God and we're not in that growing relationship, we won't have anything to share with others to help them to get to know God. 2 weeks ago, our first week in the series, we talked about the great commandment. This thing that Jesus said was the most important thing, and it had two parts. Here we go. Let's say it again together. The great commandment, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Luke 10:27. Way to go. So that's the most important thing. What are we about? Why am I here? Well, in a word, a few words, it's to love God and to love people. It's like when we pray for Joe. He already knows that. That's what he's going to be doing, but it's just, again, a matter of some of the details here. So this is what we looked at last time, or 2 weeks ago, and we started looking at, again, this is not an exhaustive look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, but just kind of no extra charge here. We're mentioning some characteristics of the good neighbor. Again, we don't have time to go back and re-preach that, but I talked about a book by Coach Gordon, Wayne Gordon, who was in the Lawndale community in Chicago, still is, and he's got an awesome book that's called Who's My Neighbor? And he has 40 characteristics of what a neighbor is based on the parable of the Good Samaritan. So let's go ahead and do that. We're starting off here, number 17. My neighbor is, just like that guy who was laying in that that ditch there, somebody of a different religion. There were theological differences between the Samaritans who were despised by the Jews and those who saw themselves as pure Jews. So it's often very easy to marginalize or just dismiss someone or say, I don't even know if I can relate to them or hang out with them or why should I help them? They believe stuff differently than I do. Well, mainly because they're people. They are people made in the image of God. They are people that Jesus died for. They have great value and worth to Him, and that so should they to you or I, whether they're Hindu, Muslim, New Age, whatever. But if the need is there and God has crossed your path with them, like in the Good Samaritan passages, yeah, chances are. Okay, number 18, my neighbor is destitute. Well, I'd love to help this guy, but I don't know if I'll be sustainable if that happens or whatever, but he doesn't have any resources. Well, yeah, that's all the more, but sometimes in a real backwards way, we can use that as an excuse. Well, this is just going to be a drain on my resources. Yeah, probably. That's okay. Number 19, my neighbor is a victim of injustice. Wow. And again, these are all messy situations. These are things that a lot of people, like that Levite and the priest, didn't want to get involved with. Man, this is going to mess up my day. This is going to, help make me late for work. It's going to make me unable to do my job. All of this other stuff. But my neighbor is someone who is a victim of injustice. Because guess who is just? Who is the epitome of justice? The holy, righteous God who calls us, who claim to be followers of Jesus, to be His agents of His kingdom in the world. So who should be the sub-agents of justice here under the authority of God? The Father, us, victim of injustice. Number 20, my neighbor has been passed by. We've looked at this before, but yeah. Man, if it's like I won't retell it, but we all know the story of the guy whose house got flooded. He climbed up on the roof. The guy from the boat wanted to pick him up. And then, you guys know that. Well, if there are others here who have passed them by, chances are you can be a neighbor to that person. Number 21, my neighbor can't say thank you. We don't know this for sure from this passage, but one thing we know is that there's no conversation recorded between the Jewish guy, the businessman who was on that journey, and the Samaritan who rescued him. The only conversation we really see is with the Samaritan talking to the innkeeper. You know, maybe this guy had a busted jaw. I don't know. We don't know. That's kind of guessing about that. But you know, God wants us to minister to people whether they're going to thank you properly or not. Again, who is our perfect example in all things? Jesus. Remember, and that wasn't a parable. That was a real deal where he healed 10 lepers. How many came back to thank him? One. If Jesus only got 10%, don't think you're going to get much better. Or expect, or say, oh, I got my feelings hurt. Only 9 out of 10 came back and said thanks. Hey, it might be 0 out of 10. So what? God still calls us to do it. And by God's goodness and grace, every once in a while, you do have somebody, and sometimes more than every once in a while, somebody that comes back and says thanks. And guess what? That's pretty cool. That's awesome when that happens. But we can't base whether we're going to treat them as a neighbor and show them God's love and help and mercy just because we think they're not going to be able to thank us. Okay, number 22, my neighbor is someone who's been wounded. Again, somebody that's incapacitated, been brutalized, beat up pretty badly. Number 23, my neighbor is someone that nobody wants to help. Again, kind of touched on that already. Last characteristic for today, 24, my neighbor is lonely. Wow. And again, this is something that you may not, sometimes you might notice by outward appearance in someone, but you might not. You know, there are many crowds that you can just be totally lonely in. And we've talked before here about how suicide is just such a terrible epidemic, really, all over our country. And it's touched my life in a very personal way, and maybe yours as well. But a lot of that comes from loneliness and from some of that also emotional and mental health issues. But, man, so let's ask God to help us be neighbors to people. So we looked at that the first week. Last week we talked about what? Anybody remember? The Great Commission. I'll help you out. All right, here. That's kind of like what we're to do right here. I think we've got a slide on that, Phil, the Great Commission here. Let's say it again. The Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Awesome. So this is what we're supposed to be doing. Making disciples. Again, that's very fuzzy in a lot of people's minds. What does that really mean? Well, again, it's teaching them to obey everything. It's this lifelong process of that discipleship continuum. I think we still have that slide too, Phil. We showed you this last week. The line here. Our job in making disciples is not just to get people to say some prayer. You know, that can be a good thing, and prayer is important, and committing your life to the Lordship of Christ and repentance from sin and faith in Jesus and His work on the cross. That's all real important. But, you know, it's important if we just move somebody a little bit closer. Or part of making disciples is taking somebody who's already a believer and helping them to get a little closer to Jesus. And we do that with our lives. It's not just classroom. Classroom stuff is important, but that's only structured stuff is only a small part of that. The model of Jesus in the Gospels is just living life, spending time with people, observing, learning, modeling to others who are maybe a bit newer in this to you. So bringing people along, and it's important to remember that we don't do this alone. You might do this part in somebody's life, and then you may never see that person again. But guess what? The next day, God's going to bump them into another believer who's going to help them like that. And it's that's pretty cool. That's the body of Christ. And that should allow us to just say, wow, cool, you know, and to breathe. It's not our job just to be able to sit down with the Four Spiritual Laws pamphlet and talk to somebody. That's not all of what that means. You know, it's lifestyle. It's loving people. Guess what? You can do a lot of work over here just by being friendly, just by smiling. And A lot of downsides to Facebook, but one good thing I like about Facebook is being able to be a kind of a safe place for people to see what's going on in your life. And we should boast in nothing other than the Lord. But it's okay to be able to kind of share things. But sometimes when I share, oh, I was at this meeting I got every month and blah, 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 this happened and we're praying for the city, whatever. You know, good stuff. I don't say that lightly, but it's something you guys that know me as like, oh, Randy's writing that thing again. Well, I'm sorry, but I am. But almost every time I get somebody replying back to me, wow, that's awesome, keep up the good work. I was like, wow, that was from this dude who I thought would never say anything like that. Whoa, self-professed atheist dude, just love that status. Wow, okay, cool. You know, but whatever. And so a lot of it has to just do with being kind, being friendly, loving people, the works of the gospel, and at the right time, the words of the gospel. The words of life. So anyway, that's what we do. That's our Matthew 28 job. This is how we do it, is just by living our lives, loving God, loving people. And just today, I want to just remind you about the action plan. That's our title for today. But briefly, that's in Acts 1:8. This is how we do this and where we do this. How we do this is not in our own strength or even our own abilities and whatever. No, that's going to mess up. Here we go. The action plan. Here we go. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This was Jesus in Acts 1:8. Yeah, so how do we do this? Not by might, not by our power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you remember where, you know, Jesus said this because his disciples were like, hey, are you going to kick the Romans' butt and, like, you know, Israel's going to rule right now and the Romans are out of here. And he said, hey, those times for all of that, that's in the Father's hands. But you go wait for the promise of the Father, because he had just talked about this giving of the Holy Spirit, this thing of the Holy Spirit being poured out unto the church. And many believe that's what happened in Acts chapter 2. And for many, that's the birth of the church, when the Holy Spirit was not just on the earth, but indwelling believers. And pretty powerful time. So again, this fits right with what we saw in that Matthew 28, where Jesus said, hey, I'm with you even to the end of the age. And he's with us. Again, that whole mystery of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Spirit. He's totally with us. And again, we've talked a lot here about this bullseye or this ripple in the pond when you throw the big rock and boom, boom, boom. Starts at home, wherever our Jerusalem is. For many of us, it's the city of Aurora. If you live here, or at least your home church is here, you know, that's where we want to see God at work. And that's kind of our first responsibility. But as we do that, there are different regions or spheres or circles of activity in the kingdom. And hopefully, you know, we have those different places in the globe, that global one. And over the years, we've had some of those. And I'm really praying, and you should too, that the Lord would connect us. It seems like stuff in the Czech Republic is not happening like it was. We were sending a team there every summer. But let's pray. I think that would be good and healthy for us, you know, once again to have something on the more global scale there. But in Aurora, maybe in the Fox Valley, in Chicagoland, and beyond. God wants us. That's where we're supposed to be doing stuff here. So I want to talk to you this morning about Fox Valley Christian Action. And you go ahead and find this. It was in your bulletin. And some people are saying, well, do I really need that? Yeah, you do. So if you got one, pull this out right now, okay? The goal for today is that when we're done here in a little less than a half hour or so, maybe 25 minutes, that you will have a good working understanding of what Riverwoods is. If you're around Warehouse very long, you hear us say, ah, Riverwoods, Riverworks, or Fox Valley Christian Action, but you really don't know what that is. You're going to find out this morning. Okay, and we're going to start by saying a little bit of history about Riverwoods. In our next slide, we've got our friend Tony Danhelka, and here's Tony right up here on the stage, our 25th anniversary homecoming. Tony was here. Tony is a good friend of mine. I met him in 1994 when he showed up at a pastor's gathering. He heard that there were some pastors meeting together praying for their city. And we were doing that about twice a month. He challenged us, said, hey, you know, there are 20, 26 homicides a month in Aurora. You guys, do you think you should pray more? And we did. And, you know, most of us know the story. What God has done showed up in some amazing, amazing ways. But Tony has been a mentor and has been a friend to me. He and his wife Donna live down in Tennessee, and I'm going to be going to see him before too long. But Tony is awesome. But Riverwoods is here because Tony and a few others, but I would venture to say more Tony than a few others. Paul Jonaber from Wayside Cross, he was another one. Another one, a guy named Champ Bodwell? Botwell, Champ Botwell. So the three of those guys, but Tony was the guy who spent most of the time. If you know Tony, you can razz him about this next picture. Here we go. That's young Tony in 1977. It's the year I came to the Lord. It's the summer of 77. So I don't know who these people are. They're a whole lot older now, obviously. But Tony had it on his heart to be able to come to Aurora. He's not from Aurora. But God put it on his heart to come to Wayside Cross. That was the only place he knew in Aurora that cared about the poor. And that was a good witness. So he went there, and they told him about Jericho Circle. They told him about Eastwood, these housing project communities, government-subsidized housing. So Tony started gathering others from youth group workers and stuff and started going out there and meeting some of these kids and their families. And then they connected with this condemned camp up in just north of St. Charles, Camp Rude, that was owned by the Advent Christian Church. It was nearly condemned, but they basically rescued it. And go ahead, next slide. Here's Tony a few years ago with a whole bunch of campers up there at Riverwoods Family Campus up there. So again, what's Tony doing? Same thing, just different kids, you know, and that's pretty awesome. So I just wanted to show you this. This is the power really of somebody's vision, Tony's vision, connecting with two other guys, with Paul and with Champ, and then calling others into that work and having a passion for it. And it's just so awesome. So as Tony has been a part of the warehouse story these last 18 years or so, Warehouse has connected all the more with Fox Valley, Christian Action, Riverwoods, Riverworks here. I would go every 3 months up to Riverwoods, and we would have pastors' meetings in the little chapel right by the river and pray for not just Aurora, remember that bullseye, that ripple? Not just for Aurora, but for the Fox Valley. Okay, next slide there, Phil, if you would. What's up? Okay, now you can hold on. You can hold on that. Go back. I think we've got one where we've got the names: Fox Valley Christian Action and Riverwoods Riverworks. There we go. We need to talk about that. Where's Jimmy and Kate? I bet they're serving in the nursery, aren't they? All right. Well, God bless them. You'll have to give them a big hug. Okay, now take a good look at this. It was about 2011, about four years ago, when the process started, that Riverwoods said, "Man, They're sadly the best-kept secret in the Fox Valley, even though they've been here for 30-some years, that there's so many Christians even who didn't know where Riverwoods was, and they were doing awesome work. Guess who knew them? The people in the housing communities knew them. The cops knew them pretty well. But the church really didn't know them as well, so they figured, well, sometimes people just hear Riverwoods, oh, that's some camp up there somewhere up the Fox River, whatever, that's cool. Yeah, we did a conference there once, or whatever. But so they prayed a lot and talked to some different companies, and I prayed a lot too, and I twisted a few arms, but I don't think they really needed that too much. But they decided on Jimmy Allen and Jimmy's company, and Obenji had a hand in some of this, and some of the other folks, graphic artists and photographers and researchers came up with what this... I just love this thing. Take this thing home with you because it's a prayer reminder about Riverwoods. But they just said, hey, we're going to have an overall name that we've never had before. So that's Fox Valley Christian Action. That's maybe a title that would help describe what we do. We're Christians. We're in the Fox Valley, and it's about not sitting on your seat. It's about action. It's about loving with your actions. So that's what they said. Hey, we'll call that. That'll kind of be the umbrella title. But that really doesn't get used much. I don't use that unless I have to. But they kind of said, okay, we're kind of doing two different things, and it's all about working together, hence the cogs of the gears and stuff. Am I getting this right, Benji? It's working. It's active. It's dynamic. It's not static here. So we have Riverwoods, which is the campus, the 85 acres north of St. Charles. Those of you that know Valley View, all of that, that's where this is at. This what's now prime real estate. They could turn around and sell this for major, major, major bucks. But the Lord has given it to them, and it's really, really nicely developed now. But that's what they call Riverwoods Family Campus. That's a place to come and to have fun and to learn about the Lord. Then RiverWorks is kind of the works part of it that happens in the communities. And I think we've got a map up there. Show us that map. Did we put that map up there? I think I spaced that out, Phil. But look in your book. Everybody's got a book here. And open up to, let me see where we're at. I'm looking for the map, the communities. Right here. Okay, it's towards the blue end of things. So that kind of, this is a sideways view of the Fox Valley. It's really like that. That would be north at the top here. But north is on your right. You can kind of look at that. These are different housing communities that Riverwoods is active in. And here in Aurora, again, we're talking the Jericho Circle is no more. You know, thankfully those families are, I think, in better living situations and stuff now. And that's just a grass field out there now. But Southwind and Harbor Village, High Street, Eastwood, we've been out there before. Indian Trail, Randall West. Some of you guys are pretty well connected there in Randall West. These are some of the Aurora communities. Then you can just kind of look up and down the valley. And I need to move a little faster here. But anyway, take this home with you and read this. It kind of gives you the two sides of Riverwoods, RiverWorks. And it's really smartly, really awesomely put together and very well written. And that tells the story fairly well. I serve on a pastor's council, a leadership team with Riverwoods, kind of helping to give input. So, you know, again, part of our leadership structure here, co-pastoring with Dave and Mike and Gary, allows me some of the time to be able to do that. So really, you know, we as a church get to have some input into the direction of Riverwoods, RiverWorks. Last fall, they had a CM 101, a training time. It was 5 weeks every Thursday night. Mike and I and Jim Keller got to be a part of that, where we got to learn even more how to be effective in partnering and serving in some of the communities. But last year, for the first time, we got to, as a church, along with folks from a few other churches in Aurora, to plug into a week of camp, and we had parables up there. Go ahead, now we've got a slide of or two of parables up there doing. They did some workshops throughout the week. They were out there. That was pretty funny. The kayak shop guys were out there building a kayak with some of the folks. There's Mike and some of the crew. We've got a few of those photos. Just go ahead, Phil, with that. And this is really cool. These are some of the same students that are now in Warehouse Youth. How cool is that? And they've reconnected with some other projects with the project shop guys. Really, really awesome stuff. So we also had the motorcycle night out there Wednesday night. Some of you guys were part of that. They signed that kayak, and now that kayak is part of the beginning of the Riverwoods fleet of kayaks. Lord willing, there will be another one this year. Go ahead, Phil. Yeah, and then they also did, one of the guys arranged for a bunch of rental kayaks for free for the teens to be out in. Can't see it much, but that's Joe and Amy Pettit helping lead some music, some fun worship and music stuff at the end of the camp week there. And I think we've got a little bit more. Some of the kids we have Geneva and Eli right there. Oh, Leo. I know that. I got Geneva on the brain because it's Geneva's birthday coming up. They had to leave, huh? Okay, well, Lily and then Eli. It's kind of cool. Here's some of our kids, next generation ones, learning John 17 stuff, caring about people from different communities, doing that together. Okay, and a few slides from the bike night. So what does Warehouse Church do? Well, one of the things that some of us do is motorcycles. Let's do a motorcycle night. And I had to tell you, we didn't know if they were going to love this or hate it. You know, I was, you know, will these kids even care? But we rolled in there, and then they came running down the hill, and it was awesome. So we got to have some of them just kind of, go ahead, Phil, some of them just hanging out at the bikes, you know, revving them up. We had others talking, eating ice cream. We've got Joe Holman here talking to somebody that say, what are these pins and patches mean? And then others of us got to go in the lodge and kind of tell our testimonies, our stories. And there's Dave Rev doing that with a bunch of a group of the boys there. Pretty powerful stuff. You know, who would have thought that, you know, but something that we do and was definitely used by the Lord there. Anyway, so we already have connection here. I mentioned Warehouse Youth. One of the reasons I'm totally enjoying this kind of relaunch of Warehouse Youth is because through Riverwoods we've been able to connect with a number of teens, and so far it's been a van full, which has been anywhere from 13 to 15 teens showing up here for a youth group, along with our, you know, ones that have been growing up here at Warehouse, and that is really, really cool. So we have a training opportunity. Here's the other thing in your bulletin, it's CM100. This is just 3 hours on a Saturday morning. This is May 3rd coming up here. So we've got a few, five, 6 weeks before this happens. But if you're hearing all this more this stuff this morning, you're saying, man, I'd like to find out more. And this is not a requirement to work at Riverwoods or to help, but it's going to help you. And I would love it if there were 3 or 5 or 10 folks from Warehouse that wanted to join folks from other churches as part of the CM100. So if that's the case there, you can talk to me more about that, or you can just follow through with the info that's up there. Man, I want to introduce you to a couple of people, Joe Sneak and Ben coming up here. So I want to give them a few minutes to be able to share. Yeah, welcome these guys. Awesome. You're Joe Sneak, you can hang out over here. All right. And Ben, cool. Are you unmuted there, Ben? Cool, yes you are. All right, good. I wanted you guys to see this. You could just hear Randy talk, but you hear Randy talk all the time. Maybe too much. I don't know. It's probably what you say. But, all right. I don't know. We'll get that worked out. But, again, work happens because people come together. Again, not just, you know, Tony can't be doing this. He's too old, you know. So he's not doing it. Don't tell him. Well, you can tell him I said that. He'd agree. But these guys have both faithfully served for years at Riverwoods, and they're not that old. But it's been a joy for me to get to know Joe Sneak and Ben. And guess what? They're two of the people that are on the Warehouse Youth co-leader team. They're not getting paid extra to do it, but they're like, yeah, this is part of our Riverwoods local church partnership. And so for now, they're doing that, and that's really cool. So Joe Sneak, what's your title at Riverwoods, and how long have you been there?
I'm a community coordinator, and I've been at Riverwoods for the last 10 years. I was on summer staff for 5 years, and I've been a community coordinator for 6 years.
Wow, and so you got a little bit of an accent. Where might you be from originally?
I am from Haiti, and I'm here on a mission with God.
She's a missionary to the United States. Awesome. And some of us from Warehouse first met Joe Sneak through Awana. She was an Awana leader and helper at Grace Bible Church when some of our kids from Warehouse were over there. So when I saw her at Riverwoods, then I was like, you're the Awana girl, you know. So, but anyway, so what community are you helping with? Or is your focus?
I'm helping with South Wind and Harbor Village. If you look on the map there in the Aurora community.
Right, and that's, yeah. if you go out the parking lot, you take the first right, you go past First Press, you go 1.8 miles, you arrive at South Wind. Mm-hmm. You probably have driven by it so many times and just didn't know it. Just look to your left, and there's a community of awesome people there. Mm-hmm. So good. Ben, how long have you been at Riverwoods, and what's your title?
So I've been at Riverwoods for, this will be my sixth summer being there. I've been there full-time about a year and a half, and I am the Hope Program Manager. And what that means is we're launching an internship program, and actually Warehouse is one of the locations where that internship will take place. We're putting interns in local churches to help the churches connect with the communities like Southwind. And then I also oversee the summer camp. So Randy and I had some crazy conversations last year of like, what do you guys do here? Well, we got kayaks. I'm like, beautiful, let's do that. What else do you do? We ride motorcycles. Beautiful, let's do that. So I go in and work with different churches and connect with them and see what they want to do to minister to their communities.
Yeah. So, with Parables, we also had last year a photography class with mm-hmm. Keith and Sarah Skilling, which we didn't arrange for that, but the Lord directed that was the same time we were mm-hmm. up there. So we said, God do that. So we're like, yeah, we're going to connect with that as well. And it's been my joy I spent a lot of time with these guys, all the more now. And it is just really, really cool. And that's just a good example of living out that John 17 unity in the body of Christ. And so I wanted you guys to know, because unless you're coming to Warehouse Youth or unless you've been part of the camp experience last year, you may not know these guys that well. But I want them to be just part of the family here at Warehouse. When we say, yeah, Riverwoods, oh, yeah, that's Ben and Joe Sneak. So you know these guys and stuff. So, and again, we'll have time after we're done here in a little bit for you guys to ask them any other detailed questions or anything else you'd want to know. And in just a little bit, we'll also, as we end our time here, we'll pray for both of these guys and for the partnership with Riverwoods. But Joe Sneek, if you want to just take 5 minutes, and I've asked these guys, said, hey, pray and see if there's any, maybe a word from the Lord, from His Word, or anything you would want that God would want to say to us through you. So.
Well, thank you, Pastor Wendy. When God first called me to become a community coordinator at South Owen, I didn't want to do it. I gave Him all type of excuses. I was like, God, I'm not equipped. And I probably had told Him, like, I didn't know enough English because I was, you know, I'm from Haiti, not really knowing the language. But that was just excuses. I remember when I was a counselor, when I was applying, I would cry every night. I said, God, I can do this. And I would see, like, did I have a job, the community coordinator at the time. I was like, there's no way I can be like them. They are so smart and everything. But I remember one particular night when I prayed, and God said, you know what, Jasnik? All I need for you to be is my mouthpiece. I just need you to be a channel on how I can get to my people. So when I heard that, so I took, then I became obedient, so I applied for the community coordinator position, and I was hired. And honestly, the only thing that I've been at South Wind in Harbor Village is really being the channel, just being a vessel of God. So a few weeks ago, I was at the community, and then God put on my heart, actually it was last week, God put on my heart to go visit a specific family. And then when I got there, and this family has 9 kids, and she's been going through a lot of stuff, and I didn't even know about it, but God, you know, revealed to me to go visit her. And then when I got there, I told her, you know what? God loves you, and He has not forgotten about you. All of a sudden, this mom started crying. And at that moment, I remember the time when God said, I just need you to be my mouthpiece. So Joe, as you were speaking, and you were saying that, you know, I don't know, like, God is calling me to be a missionary. I don't know what the vision is to be. And then this came to my, God just want you to be a mouthpiece to His people. He just want you to use you and Amy as a channel to get to His people. So I'm not here to convince you to go to South Point, because honestly, if someone were trying to convince me to be a community coordinator, I would be like, no, that's not me. I can't do it. But my prayer is that God will grab your heart the way He grabbed my heart during that time when I was praying, to just go, like the verse says, just go. And then one of the things that stood out to me during when Pastor Wendy was sharing about my neighbor is, I think it was number 24, there are people among us who are lonely. And in that specific mom, when I was talking to, she's like, you know what, Jasnik? Sometimes I feel like I'm so lonely. And there's so many moms, like in South Wind, there's about 99% single moms living in those communities. All they need is to have someone to work alongside them, to become their friends. And then through you, they'll see how much God loves them. So I'm just really grateful for the opportunity God has given me to be part of this great ministry. And honestly, God has changed me during those years. And again, I'm not here to convince you, but I'm asking you to come and see. I'm willing to give you a community tour and just become friends with the people. And I'm really grateful for Pastor Randy. And another message God gave me while I was preparing, does God want me to tell you guys you have a great pastor? And Amen. This is the time for you guys to honor Him, because a lot of time with the pastors, we think they have it all together, you know. They don't get discouraged. But God want me to remind you guys to pray for Him and encourage Him. This is the time. So with all that being said, if you guys wouldn't mind stand up. And Pastor Wendy, can women sit in?
Oh, hey. I can do that.
God just wanted to tell you that He loves you and He sees your heart, and continue to be a mouthpiece for Him. And again, thank you for the opportunity to come here to share. Awesome. And again, I'll be at the end of the service if you guys want to come, and I'll definitely give you my card if you want a tour of the community. And just remember that God loves each one of you guys here, and especially Amy And Joe, God is going to use you mightily. So right. continue
yeah.
to
yeah.
be a mouthpiece for him.
Thanks, Joe Smith. Awesome. Hey, yeah. Okay, Ben.
I got to top that? Come on.
I know.
all right. Well, ladies first. That's right.
That's right.
That's how we do it. I have a question for you. Does anyone know what the name Ben means? It's a Hebrew name.
Son.
Son. And you know what Benjamin means?
Son on my right hand.
Son on my right hand. I've already told you. We've already been through this. Come on. all right, fine. I'll take up a notch. Does anyone speak Yiddish and know what the name Schenken means? Close. It means beautiful children. Mm-hmm. So God named me Son, beautiful children. And I put in there makes, who makes. Son who makes beautiful children, children of who? Children of the Father. That's the only message I carry with my life. And I get to impart that to summer staff, kids, you know, youth, whoever I work with, you guys. And I just, here's some things that God just showed. I have just a couple pages of things that I want to share with you here. You know, the biggest gift we can give anyone is actually, it's not money or time or anything. It's actually identity. And until we know who we are, we can't actually give that away to anyone else. And what I mean by know who we are is know who God says we are, if that makes sense. So what does God say our ministry is in this world? 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19. I'm just going to read it for us. If you want to either write it down, probably I'm going to go through a couple verses, so I don't know if you can flip it that quickly. But all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed us to the message of reconciliation. That's it. That's why we exist on this earth. There are other things, but that's going along with the Great Commission. Another example of that, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So this morning I want to talk to you about sonship, and understand when I say that I'm talking about sonship and daughterhood. It's not a gender specific thing, but it's just for the sake of time and ease, I'm going to use the word sonship. So the question is, what identity does God want us to be aware of, and then what does he want us to give to others? It comes out of, notes here. Out of Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of slavery, which leads you into the fear again. Instead, you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Okay. Does anyone know what Abba means connotatively in our language, in English?
Father.
What? Daddy. That's a great translation for it. So, you know, Paul talks about us being able to go up. And you know, the verse comes to mind, Matthew 18:3, unless you become like a little child, you cannot even enter the kingdom of heaven. So daddy, God, papa, daddy, God, Paul says, you can go up and you're not slaves to sin anymore. You're not slaves to what you were before. You have been adopted. You're welcomed in. You're my child. And you can jump up on my lap and you can say, daddy, daddy. What other God in any other religion you've ever heard of lets you jump on their lap and say, daddy, daddy?
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. It's good.
You know, Jesus made that possible for us, and I don't even think we know as a people, as the body of Christ, the degree of intimacy we are welcomed into with that. And one of the songs was like, the curtain is torn now. Like, the presence used to be in this little box that only one person can go in one time a year. The curtain's torn. It's ripped up. He's here. He's with us. We're his kids. Daddy, daddy, we jump on his lap. Well, that's a powerful image.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hopefully a lot of you guys have experienced that intimacy with God, not just read about it and it's a great theological concept, but it's different when you know, if you have kids or you play with kids and you put them on your lap and they're like, you know, it's different when you experience it. So I don't know where you're at in your life, if you have or haven't experienced that. Hopefully you have. But if you have not, Jesus paid for it for you. And you can have that with God the Father. And a lot of us, sometimes we think God the Father just wants to beat us. It wants to, you know, is angry with us. And that's just not true. Because a father who's angry with a kid isn't going to let him jump on his lap and say, Daddy, Daddy. Ephesians 1:5, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ Jesus to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. Another thing, and there's so many aspects of sonship that I could go through. I don't have much time. I just have one or two more elements I want to hit. Did you know that if you are within the body of Christ, if you are adopted, if you have received salvation, that you are a king and queen, king or queen? 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Do you realize we're the only nation in the world that everyone is kings and queens in it? We are all royalty. It's not this, you know, holier than that. We are all His special possession, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Sorry, I didn't finish the verse because it's on the other page. Let me finish that. The second half of that is that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. If God is the King of kings, what does that make His sons and daughters? Kings. It's so good. This initial call actually came in Exodus when Israelites were told through Moses that they were really unable to and unwilling to be able to follow the commands. But Jesus made room for that so that we have the right, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus when we enter into His kingdom, and it's not by our righteousness but by His that we can actually be this king or queen. Exodus 19, 3-6, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you have to speak to the Israelites. So that was God talking to Moses. And they didn't pick up, they didn't fulfill that. They weren't able to fulfill that. And it just added all this law stuff that they couldn't. And now, by the grace of God, we actually live in grace so that we can be a kingdom of priests. Which is what God intended back in the Old Testament, but now we get to fulfill it. So royalty is real. This is not a joke. It's something we, as a body of Christ, need to start acting like it. Good kings know how to honorably treat one another and their subjects. They know how to walk around with a healthy level of pride and honor and dignity. And they know how to rule. God created dominion even with Adam and Eve when He said, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. That's Genesis 1:28. And our dominion actually extends to the earth. We, as God's people, we're supposed to rule and reign with God in this earth. That's why. That's what He designed us for. That's our identity. Psalms 150. That can't be right.
No.
I'm not sure where it is. I wrote the wrong number here. But the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth He has given to the sons of men. That's our inheritance. So I just want to close with this, which is a little bit more of the Romans passage. It talks about, you know, what it means. When you come in and you're adopted and your daddy is the king of everything, what do you get with that? Your inheritance is everything. It's amazing. But we don't walk around like that most of the time. We forget that so easily. Romans 8:15-23. And I don't think I go that far. 15 to 17. For those of you who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we shall share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. Each one of you was destined for glory. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You were destined for the glory of God. That's what He created you for. And sin got in the way, but thanks God to Jesus that we can enter and we can be glorious once again. Because that's what He makes us. Can I just pray?
Yeah,
for
please
us?
Do.
Okay. I just want to pray, those of you especially that have not encountered intimacy with the Father like I'm talking about, can we all just, whether you've had that or not, if you want more of that, would you just hold out your hands in front of you, just in a receiving position, like, God, I want intimacy with You, whatever that looks like. So I'm just going to pray for that. So, Father God, I just ask right now, You come on the hearts of Your children. I thank You, God, that You love the people in this room, that You love the people that they're going to touch, God. But I just ask, Father God, would You bring intimacy with the Father? Would You pull them into the secret place with You? Would You allow them to run up on Your lap and cry, Daddy, Daddy, because that's what You've accounted for with Christ. You made a way for that. And I just ask that each person, that wouldn't just be a theological idea for them, but they would physically and in a real, tangible way encounter that in their walk with You, even this week. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. Thanks. And again, I just like to give us an opportunity. You guys that are new, find out we do like to pray a lot. We like to lay hands on people a lot. So, Josenique, if you go over here, and Ben, go over here, and a few folks, some sisters around Josenique, especially here, can go ahead and hang out right down here, and we'll pray. The rest of you, go ahead and extend your hand forward in a sign of blessing. Lord, thank You for this time we've had here this morning, Lord. Thank You for Ben and Joe Sneak as they represent the ministry of Riverwoods, Riverworks, Fox Valley Christian Action. Thank You for them and this entire ministry. Lord, we ask that You would equip them. We ask that You would provide, God, and that the best years of ministry, of lives being changed, of people in the housing communities that need You, Lord, would be ahead, starting right now, Lord God. And as Warehouse Church, we commit ourselves first to You and then to Riverwoods as a faithful partner, Lord, as brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord. We pray that this would be an awesome year of ministry, Lord, not just the week at camp, but other times in the Southwind community and others, Lord. May You just provide opportunities for us to just be friends with people and be real and introduce them to this intimacy of knowing You, Lord. So thank You for that. And we just look forward, Lord, as we pray for Riverwoods, Riverworks. We pray for ourselves as well, Lord, that You would meet our needs according to Your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, Lord. Thank You for the tithes, the offerings that we bring to You, Lord. May they be broken and blessed to be able to, and multiplied to be able to meet many needs, Lord, that are there for spiritual food, Lord. So thanks for it all, Lord. We've given You this first part of the week. The rest is holy to You, and we just look forward to serving You this week, Lord. We love You, and we give You ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.